Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio.
We're going to sing about the faithfulness of God. Are you ready to sing with us? We're going to sing about His faithfulness. It's such a faithful God. I've seen Him show up for me in unique ways. You know, that's why I'm quite reckless when I worship. I start doing anyhow, anywhere believe it. Somebody say anywhere believe it. Are you ready to worship God with me like that? That is the kind of worship I want. So put your head, somebody scream.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Yeshua. Thank you, Jehoshua. Thank you, mighty Lord, mighty God, mighty Jesus, mighty Lord. Hallelujah. Faithful, faithful God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Yeshua. Thank you, Jehoshua. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. What a mighty, mighty God we serve. What a good God. What a great God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, sister. Amen. Well, shalom, shalom. My brother, my sister, welcome to the Lord Yahweh. This is your host, brother in Christ, brother L.V. Zapata. Thank you, Lord. We thank the Lord, hallelujah, for his love, his mercy that endureth forever. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Yeshua. Thank you, Jehoshua. Last week, I began a Bible teaching on 1 Samuel 15, because 1 Samuel 15, what the Lord has led me to understand is that's where America in the world is today. What happened to King Saul is where they are today, my brother and sister, in regard to, hallelujah, King Saul being rejected, and the people supporting the king to do as he pleased, which was not of God, my brother and sister, rejecting the ordinance of the ministry of the high priest, like Samuel the priest, and just forgetting about what God have established and wanting to do their own things, my brother and sister. Rebellion is the word. The nation has become rebellion before God today. Just as King Saul became rebellion and before God in 1 Samuel, hallelujah, thank you, Lord, 15:23. For Samuel says to King Saul, for rebellion is as a sin as witchcraft, stubbornness, and as iniquity of idolatry, which the Lord 2 weeks ago or less took me into 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue in the office called the White House in the Oval Office, called the Oval Office in the White House, and they were having a meeting, and in the Commander-in-Chief cup, he had the blood of the innocent that him and them were celebrating. My brother and sister, to me, it was shocking as the Lord showed me this. He took me in the spirit there as they were celebrating their own thing. And I've been speaking about this, but the Lord, my brother and sister, noticed that it has to do with the sacrifice. Because 1 Samuel 22, Samuel said, Hath the Lord as great delight in burnt offering and in sacrifice as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of the ram. So it seems like men are moving in the last days to sacrifice, thinking that it's much better than obedience. And that is a spirit of rebellion. That is a spirit of rebellion. But not only a spirit of rebellion, but it's also a spirit of witchcraft. Witchcraft is a practice, and it's even a religion among themselves. But this is a spirit. This is demonic. This is not of God. But it begins, according to 1 Samuel 23, rebellion. It begins with the sin of rebellion among these people. And the foundation is a sacrifice. What are they sacrificing that they think is better than what the Lord is saying, my brother and sister? So it's a serious matter, because not only have the Lord begun to show me this in the spirit, but even show me more this week in regard to this, my brother and sister. And it's just shocking that right when I thought I was finished with this message, I wanted to move on to another message. But since he's showing me more, God is showing me more, then I have to stick with the message and share more, my brother and sister, because it's where the nation is. It's what this nation is today before God and what they're practicing in the hidden, in the secret. And you know that the word of God said there's nothing secret that will not come out to light, my brother and sister. So it's very serious, the sin that this nation is committing, because just a few months ago, he showed me America, this woman, and I seen Jesus standing on a hill, and I seen America, my brother and sister, this woman represented by this woman, she walked up to Jesus and slapped him in the face. And I was shocked there, because I had heard America doing this to God, to the Lord. But I didn't know to what extent. I had never seen it. I heard testimony about it. And it's not that I don't believe testimony, but it's better when the Lord confirms things to you and show you these things. You'll be like, I was standing there. I heard America as a leader speaking to other nations' followers. And I knew that these other nations were the European nations, and they were doing what America was saying. And America, the woman, the leader, was leading them, telling them that they had come to the place of independence, that they didn't need to submit to what God has been saying for years, that now they're going to do their own things. And at that very moment, as I'm listening to the speech of this woman, America, I began to think, my brother and sister, all the testimony that we have heard for years past in regard to where this nation is going to, where this nation is heading. And God is not pleased with this, because God was the one who raised nations to where it is today, my brother and sister. Amen. So God cannot be pleased, my brother and sister, to where this nation is heading, my brother and sister. So Samuel says, hath the Lord have great delight in burnt offering and in sacrifice, I obey in the voice of the Lord. Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of ram. For rebellion is a sin of witchcraft. And this is what they're practicing in the hidden, in stubbornness, as an iniquity. This stubbornness, my brothers and sisters, is where the nation is standing and what they want. Now, rebellion, I looked up rebellion, and rebellion, the noun for rebellion is the act of violence and open resistance. Okay? Resisting, like protesting, my brothers and sisters. It's a type of rebellion because they're coming against the government. They're coming against the institution. And you know that the protest is being led to violence, my brothers and sisters, because of the rebellion. Why can the protest be peaceful, as many people are saying? Why can they not be peaceful? And we're seeing the signs of these things in our nations happening almost this past month. Has been happening in all 50 states, my brothers and sisters. And people say, how can this be? How can this rebellion be going on, which has been led to other things in the past, witchcraft and all that, my brothers and sisters? And it's as people turn their back to God and trust in other things, the devil, they're going to turn this way because they're not trusting in the Lord, who can keep everything together, keep us in harmony, keep us in communion, in union, in understanding, have a common purpose. Notice that the protests have no common purpose. And it made no sense what they're protesting about. And some people have been questioned by the media, so what are you protesting about? And what they say make no sense. And that's what happened when you reject the Lord, when you turn your back on God. Nothing makes sense. Now, I want to show you, my brother and sister, that when people act this way, the Bible is very specific on what is going on. Okay, and who are really they're coming against? I want you to show you this. Job 34:37. For he added a rebellion into his sin. He clapped his hand among us and multiplied his words against God. This rebellion that is going on in America and around the world today is against God. Notice that it's not specifically against government, but it's against God, Christian nation, my brothers and sisters. That is in the Bible. That is in the Word of God. It is against God. Okay? Here's another verse to that. Proverbs 17:11. Evil man seeketh only rebellion. Therefore, a cruel messenger shall be sent against him. Okay? These are fallen, what they call aliens, demons, that will be sent against him. Against him who will be acting this way. So him here will be America, the world, the people that are rising against God, okay? Evil men, a cruel messenger will be sent, okay? Again, Jeremiah, this is against the Lord now. Jeremiah 28:16. Therefore thou sayest the Lord, behold, I will cast thee off from the face of the earth. This year thou shalt die, because thou hast done rebellion against the Lord. This protest in America and around the world is not only against the government, but it's against the Lord. You see the violence in it? It's against the Lord. It's against God. It's against heaven. My brothers, these are the signs that we are like in the times of Noah and in the times of Lot. Because in the times of Lot, they wanted to take Lot and the angel and do evil with them. In the times of Noah, it was the same behavior. These things was against God's moral, which is against the Lord, which is against God. To take someone by violence is against God. Either be woman, be man, be child, whoever they take by force is against the Lord. It's against God. That behavior is of the devil. That cruel messenger, fallen ones, are going to be sent against this nation, against the world in these last days. And these last days will be horrible, my brothers and sisters. Okay, that is in Proverbs. Evil men seek a rebellion. Therefore, a cruel messenger shall be sent against him. Hallelujah. Who will send them? God will send them and God will punish them. My brother and sister were cruel messengers. That's going to be terrible. Terrible when we're coming upon the earth. Some people have seen a sister saw in a dream from the Lord, like chupe, opening like in the book of Revelation, and like these locusts, but it was the evil demon coming upon the earth, causing things to be much worse than what it is in the days to come. My brother and sister, may God have mercy. May God have mercy. Because this act of rebellion is a sin as witchcraft, and stubbornness is the iniquity of idolatry. And it's because thou have rejected the word of the Lord. Notice the step when people have become a rebellion. You notice that it's against God, against God's word, against God's church, against God's people, against God's establishment. They reject the word of the Lord because thou have rejected the word of the Lord. My Lord, my God. It's a direct rejection to God that they are committing as they have become rebellion. For rebellion is a sin of witchcraft. Stubbornness is of iniquity. In idolatry, when people become so stubborn, they don't want to listen. They don't want to hear anymore. My brother insisted. But that is even idolatry. Hallelujah. It's an iniquity and idolatry. Because thou have rejected the word of the Lord, he has also rejected thee from being a king, from having a position in the kingdom of God. My brother and sister, because Bible says God established a king and God removes a king. So this establishment of a king, of a president, of a leader is the Lord who does it. But when the people, even the ministry, pastor, preacher, evangelist, prophet, whoever it is, God established leaders. But when they have become rebellion, and they will end up in witchcraft when they do, they will. This why I heard a message years ago that even witchcraft in the church today, this witchcraft in the churches today because of rebellion. My brother and sister, so it's serious. This is serious. This is so serious. My brother and sister, very, very serious. Like people, many people may not understand. And the consequence of it is judgment, which God said true judgment is someone ending up in hell. But judgment upon the earth is correction. God will correct America. God will correct the nations, the world. He will punish them for the sin, for the wicked, and their evil. And the judgment that we're going to see in California and in the eastern part of the United States very soon, my brothers and sisters, is correction. God's going to correct this nation very, very, very soon. Someone saw it the other day. He says, within days. Someone saw it in the spirit. The Lord says, Lord, how soon is for the judgment? And the Lord showed to this person, it's within days. It's within days, this person said. It's just so close. It is just so close, my brother and sister. So, so close. And so as we understand these things and we go into repenting before the Lord, because God will protect his. God will protect his church. God will protect his people. This is what this message is about. The message is that God will be with us. God will protect us. He's going to punish the wicked. He's going to punish your sin. But he's giving you and I the opportunity to come to him, repent, get on the right side with God, which is Jesus Christ our Lord. Come under the blood of Jesus. Come under his protection, my brother and sister. And God, through this hard time, difficult time, not only will protect us, but will keep us, will supply our need, will supply us with food, will do miracle among us, my brother and sister. He has done that in the past. God is still the same yesterday, today, and forever. That's Jesus Christ. And he's still the same with us. He's going to be with us in these days. And we will see judgment, yes, upon the land. But we will also see the mighty hand of the Lord on our behalf, my brother and sister. I want to show you in the book of Daniel that, my brother and sister, what happened with King Saul and Samuel, hallelujah, was not the first time that people had acted this way. My brother and sister, I just read to you in the verse in Jeremiah 17 that the people in the time of Jeremiah my brother and sister did the same. But here in Daniel, when he was in Babylon, Daniel 5:3, they brought the golden vessel that was taken out of the temple out of the house of God, which was in Jerusalem. And the king and his princess, his wife, his concubine drank from them. And they drank wine and praised the God of gold and silver and brass and iron and wood and stone. You see here the idolatry, the witchcraft, and these rebellious people. This action come out of rebellion toward the Lord. These people are behaving as Saul and his follower were behaving. At the time in Jeremiah, when God allowed King Nebuchadnezzar to come with his army and take all these, and overcome Jerusalem and take all these people captive back to Babylon because of their rebellion, their idolatry, their witchcraft, my brother and sister, which is an abomination before the Lord. It's a sin. And God allowed this to happen to them because when God sends the prophet Jeremiah to tell the king and then to repent from these actions, they rejected the word of God through the mouth of the prophet Jeremiah. And now through the mouth of Samuel, the king, I'm sorry, not the king, of Samuel, the priest and judge, they're also rejecting the words. Samuel, to me, was not like any other prophet because he was also a judge. And he was there before the prophet. My brother and sister, chosen him since he was little. His mother's brother dedicated him to the temple of the Lord. We know the testimony of Samuel. My brother, well respected, spent all his life unto the Lord and to the service to the Lord. My brother and sister. So they knowing that Samuel will not come and speak to them unless the Lord will give him the word, how can now they will reject his word? My brother and sister, Samuel loved King Saul so much, my brother and sister, that the Lord says to Samuel in 1 Samuel 16:1, how long wilt thou mourn for Saul, seeing that I have rejected him? This Samuel cried day and night for King Saul. He cried for, he prayed, he prayed. Hallelujah. He wanted the Lord to spare Saul. Hallelujah. I was thinking for 2 weeks now, why did the man of the army of Israel, later on when Saul and his men go and fight the Philistine, and the men die with King Saul and his son? And I said, why did they have to die? I'm thinking unto myself, my brother and sister, why? But then the Lord answered me back, hallelujah, that the people, as the king, my brother and sister, hallelujah, has done the same thing. They also, my brother and sister, they also participated and pushed King Saul into doing what he did. My brother and sister, the Bible says that, hallelujah, God sent Saul with a mission to destroy the Amalek. For what Amalek had done, how they laid away unto him and wait when he came on from Egypt, go smite Amalek, God said, and utterly destroy all that they have, and spare not, but slay both men and women, infants, suckling, ox, sheep, camel, ox. And so gathered the people together and numbered them into land. 200,000 foot men and 10,000 men in Judah. Wow, 210,000 people. He gathered. And he came to the sea of Amalek and laid way of the valley. And so said to the Canaanite, go depart, you go down from the Amalekite, lest I destroy you with them. For you show kindness to all the children of Israel when they came out of Egypt. So the Canaanite departed from Amalekite and smote the Amalekite. or have lands of ten thou come to shores, which is over against Egypt. So he took Agag, the king of the Amalekite, alive, utterly destroyed all the people with the edge of the sword. Hallelujah. But Saul spared Saul and the people spared Agag. Here is what the people are including now in verse 9. They had an agreement, Saul and the people. Let's spare the king and the best of the sheep and oxen. Let's spare this. They came into agreement for a nation to have us abiding in the White House. They had to vote him in. They had to go and vote him in, my brother and sister. But it will not be good for the nation, my brother and sister. And the people approved Saul as a king. And what Saul was doing, which was sin, disobedience, which was witchcraft, idolatry, they were doing the same. You got to be careful who you follow. Who is your minister? Who is your leader? Because if they're doing wrong, you will also do wrong with them. You'll participate. This is why I tell people, pray about to the Lord. If you want to follow this ministry, ask the Lord. Let the Lord lead you. Because I went to the Lord. It was the Lord who came to me, chose me for the ministry. Be careful what other ministry you follow. Make sure you ask the Lord to give you witness of the ministry. That the minister, because there are people doing things hidden that you don't know. And if they're doing witchcraft, if they're doing idolatry, if they're committing a sin in the secret that you don't know, you will participate if you give that ministry your tithes and offerings. I have heard things in these years as a minister that shocked me of things that people have been doing. But I'm not here to judge anyone. I'm not a judge. Matthew 7:1 says, judge not or you will be judged. Okay? If you judge, you will be judged. So we're not here to judge anyone. We're here to pray for people and then to see. But when you see the evil, you stay away. You walk away. You don't participate. If you're walking into a church who approve abortion, walk away. If you're walking into a ministry that approve abortion, walk away. Walking into a church that approve homosexuality, walk away. Don't even ask why do they approve it. Why do they marry them? Or why does the pastor recommend for the young lady to have abortion? That it's okay. God will forgive them, as they say. And they go on and they keep doing it because the pastor said it's okay. No, my brother and sister. You need to know who you follow. You need to understand. You remember John the Baptist. Before he went to prison, he told his disciple to follow Jesus. That he was the one. John the Baptist made sure, because it was told to him that to whom he will baptize, that the dove, the Holy Spirit will come upon thee, he will be the one. He will be the chosen one. He will be the Messiah. And John had a follower, a people following him. And before he could release us to go to another ministry, the Lord, he made sure that that messenger came from God. And then he told them to follow him. My brother and sister, you need to understand in the order we walk, in the order we are led by the Lord. He has to lead us. He has to tell us, my brother and sister, because there's a lot of people being misled. And then you see them approving abortion, approving homosexuality, approving so many things that are not of God. That is against the word of God, that is in nature, what God have established from the beginning. It is not for us to hate them, but Bible says to love our enemy. That means reach out to them, tell them it's a sin, tell them they need to repent. And by you doing that, you're loving on them, even though some don't even think so. My brother and sister, hallelujah. And if you've already spoken to them and they are rejecting the word, you can pray for them. In case some people are giving up on other people, you can pray for them, which will be more powerful than you trying to reach out to them if they already rejected you. My brother and sister, God can still save them. God can still reach out to the people that are in this deep sin, dangerous sin. My brother and sister, hell is full of these people, these sins, and they cannot get out anymore. They began this practice on the earth, and they were told it was a sin, and they refused to listen, and one day they die. And they're there, and they're people in young ages, people 18, 19, 20, doesn't matter how old they are, they're in hell. Young lady, beautiful. I remember the Lord took me to one part of hell. It's a place of torment. And this place was full of young ladies, all naked, beautiful. Early 20s, teenagers. How did they end up there? One day I'm listening to the radio. It was a spring break. A car full of young lady was coming from Florida up north and got into a car accident where they all died. My brother and sister. And that helped me to understand how can these young people end up in hell. Because if they're not repenting, if they're going lusting in spring break, coming back home, get into a horrible car accident and die. My brother and sister, salvation is a free gift from God that God has given us. My brother and sister, I told you last week when the Lord brought me down to hell one more time, I have said before that time, I don't want to go back to hell anymore. It's horrible down there. It is unexplainable by words. Every second I was there, I wanted to breathe. I could not. Every second I was there, I was being tormented. Hell is a place of torment. My brother and sister, every second I was there, I was being tormented. It was horrible. Horrible, horrible, horrible. And I could say, Lord, what are you bringing me to hell for? But someone needs to share the experience as real. Hell was real. My brother and sister, the truth is that hell was not for a son or a daughter of God. Just as heaven is not for demon, hell is not for a daughter or a son of God who's walking with the Lord right. There's no way a Christian can be in hell who's walking right with God. Like there's no way a demon can be in heaven. Hallelujah. I remember the testimony. Someone was wondering for years, what will happen if two demons from hell find themselves in heaven? And the Lord wanted to show this to this someone. And when the Lord brought two demons from hell into heaven, the demon was screaming in the top of the lung because the light of heaven and the presence of God, it was a torment for them. They could not be there. That was not the right place for them. They just wanted God to get them out of here. For every second they were in heaven, they begged God to get them out, and God took them out. The Lord took them out. And this sister was watching this and understood, why can demons not be in heaven? Because heaven is for the righteous. Hell is for the wicked. And heaven is for the righteous, for the holy, for the separated, for those who love the Lord will enjoy heaven. Will love to be with God for all eternity. But hell is for the wicked. Every wicked and every sin that a person have in their life, if they're not repented, that is the torment in heaven and hell for all eternity. But that person cannot live in heaven. My brother and sister, without repenting, without being washed with the blood of Jesus. It is the blood of Jesus that cleanses us from all unrighteousness. It's the blood that gives us the opportunity to enjoy heaven. Without repenting, without turning away from sin, we cannot enjoy heaven. Hell will be the place for the wicked and the disobedient, my brothers and sisters. That is a fact that a lot of people don't know why there's a difference of hell and heaven. Because the wicked is for hell and the righteous is for heaven, my brothers and sisters. This is why God wants us to be righteous. So when these people mock God by drinking wine and praising other gods in the silver brass in the cup that belongs to God in the temple of God. The Bible says that in the same hour came for a finger of a man's hand and brought up as a candlestick upon the plaster on the wall which the king and the king palace. And the king saw the part of the hand and wrote. The king's countenance would change. Like, whoa. His thought troubled him. What in the world? So the joint of his loin would loose. Oh, my body. His knees was mud against one another. Oh, they could not stop shaking. That's the power of God, my brother insisted. His knee could not stop shaking when the hand of God was writing. My brother and sister, hallelujah. Oh, my Lord, oh, my God, oh, my Lord. And the king cried out to bring the astrologer, the shout, be and bring the astrologer. Oh, he shouted out. I cannot even imitate the voice of the king, shouting out to bring these people forward and to come and give them the interpretation of his finger that was writing on the wall. And it came all the king, the wise men, that they could not read the writing nor known to the king the interpretation thereof. And the king Belshazzar greatly troubled. His countenance was changing him. His Lord was dismayed. And the queen, by the reason of the word of the king and his Lord, came into the banquet house. And the queen spoke and said, O king, live it forever. Let not thy thought trouble thee. Let not thy countenance be changed. There is a man in the kingdom on whom there is the Spirit of God. Thank you, Lord. And that's what makes the difference out of any Christian, out of any man of God, any daughter of God. Is the Spirit of God in you? Remember saying to the Lord, Lord, how do I know I'm going home in the rapture? And the Lord said, if my Spirit is in you, if my Holy Spirit is in you, when I come, you will go home with me. That is the key. Is the Holy Spirit still in your life? Are you repenting? Are you seeking the Lord? Is there still a witness in your spirit that God is with you, that the Holy Spirit is in your life? I thank you, Jesus. And the queen, hallelujah, was a witness that there was a man in the kingdom that had the Spirit of the Holy God. Hallelujah. And in that day, thy father lying, understanding and wisdom like the wisdom of God, will find in King whom King Belshazzar, thy father, King, hallelujah, I say thy father made master of the magician, astrologer, Chaldean, so saw you. So much of the spirit and the knowledge and the understanding, the interpreting a dream, interpreting heart sentences, solving doubt were found. The same with Daniel, whom the king named Belshazzar. Now is let Daniel be called. Hallelujah, he will show the interpretation. Thank you, Lord. This is like calling the church, the leader, the pastor. Hey, man of God, do you understand what's going on over here? Yes, rebellion. In America today, the spirit of rebellion is in our street. It's in our college. It's in our university, my brother and sister. And that's why the students are protesting, because of rebellion. But behind this is witchcraft and idolatry, my brother and sister. Behind all this, and it's not for good. It is not for good. America needs to repent. America needs to turn to God. The college, university need to get under our knees and fast and pray and repent and turn back to the Lord before great judgment come upon them and their buildings are destroyed by the mighty power of God. Oh, my brother and sister, time is too short for people to get into rebellion. Hallelujah. Verse 15. Then there was Daniel brought before the king, and the king spoke and said to Daniel, thou art Daniel, who are the children of the captivity of Judah, whom the king thy father have brought in Jerusalem. I have ever heard thee, the spirit of the God in thee, the light of understanding, excellent wisdom are following thee. And now the wise men, astrologers, who have been flying before him, hallelujah, praise the Lord, they could not read, they cannot give the interpretation, the king says. Verse 16, but I heard thee that can make the interpretation of the self of thou. Now that thou can read the writing made known to the interpretation. Verse 17, Daniel answered and said unto the king, let thy gift be to thyself. He wanted a gift. He wanted to give Daniel. There's a problem with gifts. The nation, okay, some gifts comes with hallelujah, commitment. And when you get a gift sometime, you can get a commitment to someone, expecting something else. And that's where a lot of ministry today have fallen into. And that's why they find themselves, they are great religion of the world today that have called minister and say, we'll give you $20,000 a week. We'll give you this as a gift. if you do this and that for us, if you favor our, what we're doing. And although the religion are fully behind witchcraft and all that unto the devil, some ministry have fallen into supporting them and speaking on their behalf and become tied to them, my brother and sister. And this has been the falling of many ministers on television today, my brother and sister. No, no, no. And it's a test, because I got contacted one time on one of the ministry, and I said to him, I will pray to the Lord about this. I will seek the Lord. And he contacted me again. Are you going to, Elvie will take care of you financially. Don't worry. And because he thought it was a little about money. And I let him know it was not about money. It's about the Lord leading me. And I told him, look, I will ask the Lord and see what he says. But I'm not going to give you a yes. And when I went back to the Lord was pleased that I asked him, and the Lord said it was a test to me. My brother and sister, God will test us in our ministry with gifts that could be a lot of money. And many ministries have fallen into witchcraft, idolatry, for taking those gifts. Demons come behind them and attack their life and the ministry and bring their ministry down in shame. My brother and sister, so much has happened over the years. We need to be very careful. So Daniel said, let thy gift be to thyself, and give thy reward to another. Yet I will read the writing unto the king, may know unto the interpretation. Because what was behind the king gift, Daniel understood very well that witchcraft and idolatry were behind this king because of the rebellion before God. Remember what Daniel, what Samuel said? That the rebellion was out of witchcraft? Daniel understood that. You see how God is so awesome. God will deliver us when we trust in him. Because this gift would have made Daniel very wealthy. Some people say he would have such a wealthy ministry. Well, Daniel rejected wealth. Daniel rejected gift. And those kings will give him a lot of gold, a lot of silver, make the person very wealthy. But guess what? The demonic forces behind the wealth, what would have ruined Daniel? Daniel understood that. Daniel understood the witchcraft and idolatry behind it. And Daniel, my brother and sister, said to the king, don't be afraid, to whom he had to say no. Let thy gift be to thyself, or give it to the reward to another. He refused it right out. No, I'm not taking it. I don't want it. You take it, go give it to someone else. Oh, my brother and sister, the wise God is good to us. And he can deliver us from the trap of the enemy. Because this right here is a trap of the enemy that many fail to see, and it's in the word of the Lord. Oh, thank you, Lord. Oh, King, the Most High, verse 18, gave Nebuchadnezzar, thy father, the king, the majesty, glory, and honor. And for thy majesty, he gave him all the people, the nation, the language, tremble before him. Hallelujah. Whosoever he would, he slew. Whosoever he would, keep alive. Whoever he would set up. Whosoever he would put down. When his heart lifted up and his mind hardened in pride, notice what pride can do. My brother and sister, it can harden one's mind. Pride is dangerous. And for years I've been preaching about pride. Pride is very dangerous. Because you can try, you will give someone a word from the Lord, and the person in pride can reject it, because it's hardened in their mind. Again, when his heart was lifted up and his mind hardened in pride, he was disposed from the kingly throne, and they took his glory from him. God brought him down. God cut him off. God said, enough. You don't deserve this no more. God took it away. God give, God takes it away. God set up, he removed. My brother and sister, God help us. Verse 21, he was driven from the Son of Man. His eye was made like unto a beast. His dwelling was with the asses. And this is what coming into America and the world very soon. Someone had a dream not long ago. My brother and sister, The Lord took this person to the great tribulation. That is, someone said it's within days to come. It's close. It's close. And what does this person saw? What does this person experience during the great tribulation? People changing into beasts, werewolves, and so much more. And what the Lord let this person know, it was because of their heart lifted up, their pride. The greater the pride for a nation is, the greater the fall is going to be. They're going to change. And the person cannot believe how many millions of people were changing at the same time. Countless among the people changing. My brother and sister, the howling is coming. There's going to be a howling all over America very soon, my brother and sister. Do not stay around. Do not. Do not. 2 mornings ago, he took me into the days to come. An EMP was thrown over America. And let me tell you, almost every single electronic device was burned. Burned. When I tell you burn, our cell tower will burn. I was in the park in this revelation. And this park seemed to me familiar. But at the same time, it was not. It was a park with a golf, very fancy. I believe myself, like in Washington, D.C., one of the presidential golf parks. And my brother and sister, the place was full of cell phone everywhere. I mean, I could see the latest Samsung, the latest iPhone. People were throwing them on the floor because it was useless. And I was there with my two sons, and I said, pick up some of the most fancy ones because although they're not good to connect to the tower anymore, but some of those iPhones can be good computer to play games. But as they were picking them up, the battery would have ran out. Out of most of them anyway. And since everything was burned, my brother and sister, as I was walking there, I see the former president, my brother, the star falling from heaven. He was walking there, the Mahabi, the Chuiman. And I said to my children, he is the Antichrist. They looked at me, said, why are you saying that? They don't like me saying that. My brother and sister. And he had a cell phone, he threw it away. But I noticed that their plan is the satellite phones, okay? Because satellite, they got satellite in space. And of course, those satellite, Russia's going to burn them too. But they can shut off some off, and they can cover them off. And when they need to open them up for that emergency, they'll have connection. They have satellite phone. My brother and sister, government's prepared for this. They've been preparing for this since the 50s. Maybe even earlier, for EMP. But this EMP that I'm going to launch, my brother and sister, are going to be, let me tell you. Okay, we'll keep on prayer. Thank you, Lord. Joseph said his grandma had a stroke. Please, everyone listening, take her in prayer before the Lord. She was taken to the hospital, he says. She cannot speak. Hallelujah. Okay, Lord, by your stripe, by your wound, his grandma, Lord, hear her, Lord. Bring her back, Lord Jesus. Restore her back. In Jesus' name we pray. Through the stripe of Jesus, through the wound of Jesus. Hallelujah. Lord, in your name, thank you, Jesus. We'll send the word over her body in Jesus' name. Restore her back, Lord, in Jesus' name, by the stripe of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Let me tell you, and in this revelation, as I'm seeing all these things, it was getting darkened in the afternoon. You know, here up north, since we get a colder winter, in the afternoon, 6, 7 o'clock in the afternoon, it began to get dark, especially in the winter, or 4 or 5. And it was getting dark. I noticed that there was no electricity anywhere. The entire city was blacked out completely, no power. And I did notice, though, like those emergency red lights on top of the tower, little light, blinking lights, which is more for emergency, letting, like, everyone know you're under emergency, but I couldn't even hear the alarm, city alarm. Just those little blinking light, red lights, my brother and sister. But The entire city had no power. Our grid is supposed to be protected. For some reason, they're not. And when the EMP goes off, boom, no power at all. This is close to happen. The Lord let me know this is close. I knew this was day from now. I can't say how many days because, again, in the spirit, you cannot tell time. But prepare for this. Been trying myself to prepare with solar battery. I don't have much battery, but I believe I got enough for what I need for emergency. But the thing then will be to protect them, put blanket or something, EMP blanket to protect these devices. But my brother and sister, everything are going to be burned. And it's going to be very difficult. Because you know what happened after that? People will be running into other people's homes, looted in, breaking into, will be no alarm. No one will be able to call the police. The mess that is coming ahead, people have no idea. And God's been warning us through his prophet, revealing it to us through vision and dreams and revelation that these things are coming. And you can already see people looking the other way, walking the other way, not taking it to heart, not repenting, not preparing. I was listening to the sister online. She said the Lord says in April 8, God's giving America 40 days to repent. And that will lead to May 18. The 40 day will be May 18. I also heard the rabbi that May 22nd, 23rd, around there, they say, may be the last day to sacrifice the heifer in Israel. My brother and sister, the Antichrist, the enemy, don't want them to do this. And a lot of people think, well, what is that red heifer will do for the world? Well, here's the thing. The Lord showed this to the sister in the spirit. When Israel makes this sacrifice, the power of God is going to release such so powerful on the earth that the demons that are on the earth will be pushed back to hell immediately. Because the sacrifice is not the significant here. It's Israel turning back to God in obedience. My brother and sister coming together to make the sacrifice. And another sister says, the Lord told me, she says, that he's going to help Israel to make the sacrifice. So we need to pray for Israel. We need to continue to pray for the peace of Jerusalem, but for Israel to get back in obedience with God. Because this sacrifice, like the Lord showed the sister, is significant. Because Jerusalem is the capital of the world. And when they make the sacrifice, it's going to push all the forces of evil back down to hell. And we're going to get some type of peace until things unfold. My brothers and sisters, if it doesn't happen for some reason, God is in control, we know. My brothers and sisters, but God is calling this nation and the world to repent. And the Lord even said to her, if New York repent, and in these 40 days, I would have mercy on New York. Any state that will repent, that comes together and repent, the Lord says, they will be forgiven and God will have mercy on them. They will be spared. But if New York, if the people don't repent, they will not be spared in the judgment. They will be destroyed after these 40 days. So you can already see, my brothers and sisters, how the Lord is speaking on destruction to come through the different prophets. And even giving them a timeline to repent 40 days after the April 8th. My brother and sister, look how far we are already. Okay, so the 18th, we don't have that many days. About 13 days now, my brother and sister. And to the sacrifice, we only have, 15, 16 days. We hope in the Lord that Israel can make the sacrifice. My brother and sister. See, why did Saul wanted to make the sacrifice? My brother and sister, why did he want to make the sacrifice? Because he understood the victory that comes from the Lord, okay, from making the sacrifice, because it's obedient. Hallelujah. It's obedient. But the Lord says to Samuel, hallelujah, they came, verse 10, they came the word of the Lord unto Samuel, saying, I repent that I have set up Saul to be king. For he had turned back from following me and had not performed my commandment and grieved Samuel And it grieved Samuel that he cried unto the Lord all night. My brother and sister, when people turn rebellion to the Lord, praying for them is really difficult. It's complicated. I said to the people for years, it's complicated. People say, but pray, brother, we pray. It's complicated. Because none of us can say I'm more anointed than Samuel. Samuel was a very anointed man, dedicated all his life to the Lord. Okay? My brother, since young. And Samuel here all night long prayed for Saul. All night long. And the Lord told Samuel, how long are you going to keep praying for Saul? I have rejected him. In other words, you're praying for someone rejected? That's complicated. That's difficult. That's very difficult. I tell the people, take it before the Lord in prayer. It's complicated. But people will still want you to pray, my brothers and sisters. And Samuel rose early in the morning to meet Saul. Samuel rose early to meet Saul in the morning, and it was told to Saul, to Samuel, saying, Saul came to Carmel, and behold, he had set himself in a place, and had gone about and passed, and had gone down Gilgal. Samuel came to Saul, and Saul said to him, blessed be the Lord, I have performed the commandment of the Lord. Personal interpretation is dangerous. You got Saul here giving Samuel, the prophet, a personal interpretation of the matter. And you have a lot of people doing this today. You have a lot of people giving their personal interpretation. Not the word of God, but the personal interpretation. King Saul here is giving Samuel his opinion, his own personal interpretation. And this is dangerous. I repent. After the Lord said, I repent. My brother and sister. Saul said to Samuel. Samuel said to Saul. And Saul said to him, blessed be the Lord. I have performed the commandment of the Lord. Verse 14. And Samuel said, what meaneth this bleeding of the sheep and of the ears and the lowing of the oxen which are here? And so said, they have brought them from Malachi, from the people, spare the best sheep, the oxen, the sacrifice unto the Lord. And the rest we have utterly destroyed. Samuel said to Saul, stay, I will tell thee what the Lord said to me this night. And he said unto him, say on. Hallelujah. I love it because Samuel is not taking it personal. And as a man and woman of God, we need to understand that when people offend the Lord, when people sin against the Lord, don't you take it personal, because then you're not able to minister to the person. Okay? You stay with the side of the Lord, the commandment. Okay? But don't take it personal. Don't get offended. I will not minister to this person anymore. Some people say, no, don't take it personal. They had just, Saul had just offended the Lord. Okay? And it grieved the Lord that he had chosen Saul as a king. And Samuel loved Saul, his friend. But the matter is here that the Lord has spoken and have rejected Saul. And Samuel needs to take a stand. Is he still going to stand with Saul or stand with the Lord? And the best choice of Samuel is the Lord, my brother and sister, in this matter. And that's what we need to do. And Samuel said, when thou wast little in thy own sight, was thou not made the head of the tribe of Israel? And the Lord anointed thee over king of Israel? He reminded Saul now of the calling of God upon his life and the ministry that God had put on his hand. Upon his shoulder. My brother and sister. Okay? Great reminder. This is a great reminder here. That the service of Saul is to the Lord. And if he doesn't do it according to what the Lord commands, he's not offending Samuel. He's offending the Lord. My brother and sister. And the Lord sent me on a journey and said, go and utterly destroy the sinner, the Amalekite. Fight against them until they are consumed. Why did they not obey the voice of the Lord? Why did they not leap upon the spoil and their evil in the sight of the Lord? Notice who he did evil in the sight of the Lord. Okay, this is a matter between Saul and the Lord, but the prophet Samuel sent to message Saul in regard to this matter. Verse 20, and Saul said unto Samuel, yea, I have obeyed the voice of the Lord, and have gone the ways which the Lord sent me, and have brought God the king of the Amalekite, and have utterly destroyed the Amalekite. No, he did not did what the Lord said, but now Saul has his own opinion. And if you're going to sit there with people and argue about what they believe and what they think is right, oh, you're going to be there until the kingdom comes. My brother needs to know. When you know that someone is arguing something against the word of the Lord, have a good day, shalom, and walk away. My brother and sister. Verse 21, but the people took the spoil, the sheep, the oxen, the sheep, the thing, which have been utterly destroyed, and sacrificed unto the Lord thy God and Gilgal. Notice that the people, the rebellion people, my brother and sister, have committed the same sin that Saul had committed, rebellion, which is witchcraft. They all have fallen into witchcraft, but are made in sacrifice unto the Lord God of Israel. Is that okay? Because I hear these Christians, you know, they enter a little bit of witchcraft, but they give the tithes and offering unto the Lord. Some people say, Brother Obi, I'm confused about that. Can you explain that to me? Because I went to the church and, wow, they're Christ-led, they're Islam, you know. They do this and do that, but then they give the tithes and offering unto the Lord. You know, it's not okay. Mm-mm. No, it's not okay. It's not okay. And this is why we have the word of the Lord. And this matter, Saul, what happened to Saul is happening in America and the world today. The mixing, the evil interpretation, because this is not just bad interpretation, this is evil. This is evil at work here. Where they do what they think is okay, and they say we're doing it unto the Lord. This is for the glory of God, they say. But it's not pleasing unto the Lord. And if you take it in prayer before the Lord in fasting, the Lord himself will tell you it's not pleasing unto him. Come on from among them, my people, so you don't be partaker in her judgment. Huh? Come on. And you'll hear that voice, that urgent voice for you to run away from the church. Come on from among them. And you say, but that's Babylon, Lord. Are you calling this great church Babylon? Come on from among them, my people. You see, got to listen to the Lord. You got to listen to the Lord. You have to pray. You have to fast. You have to seek the word of God for your life. You need to know what the Lord is saying. And the Lord will tell you himself what he wants you to do in this matter, in this situation, when you find yourself there. The Lord will say, run, flee. Flee from them. Flee, the base word for flee is fly. It's hard for us to fly. We don't fly yet. We will soon. Run. Get out of there as fast as you can. My brother, so you don't be partaking of her sin, because you will be partaking of her judgment too. It's good people being punished with bad people because of the lack not seeking the Lord, the will of God. Verse 22, and Samuel said, have the Lord had great delight in the burnt offering? But wait a minute, Samuel. Was not the Lord who commanded the sacrifice? Yes, it was the Lord. But even the sacrifice has to be done in obedience. See, when you say Israel saying we're going to sacrifice this man unto the Lord, they have to separate young men, priests, for this. Make sure they're not in fornication, adultery, any type of sin for this sacrifice. because it's obedient, the establishment of the sacrifice. Notice how Jesus offered himself as the Lamb of God, as a sheep to being sacrificed. But what he shows us in his own life and his own walk toward God. I came not to do my will, he said, but the will of the one who sent me, he said to the rabbi in Jews. And when he prayed, Father, not my will, but thy will be done. You see, he was never seeking for his will. He always sought to do the will of God, obedient unto the Lord. My brother and sister. So this is why Samuel says back to Saul, hath the Lord had great delight in burnt offering and in sacrifice as in obeying the voice of the Lord? It's a question. And that question is to every single American, every single citizen of the world right now. God would ask them the same question. Why do you think, what do you think, how you should live and work for God? What do you think God wants? Your sacrifice? Your being able to bring your tithes and offering and your fasting and all that, but not obeying the voice of the Lord? It's not acceptable. The sacrifice will not be acceptable unto the Lord. It will not be pleasing. Because the great delight unto the Lord is that when there's an example in the Bible, how God is delighted and what we do. And that is in Genesis 4, my brother and sister. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Praise you, Jesus. Hallelujah. The Bible says that when she bore his brother Abel, Abel was keeper of the sheep, but Cain was tiller of the ground. In the process of time came to pass, Cain brought the first fruit of the ground, an offering unto the Lord. And Abel also brought the fatling of his flock and the fat thereof. And the Lord had respect unto Abel and his offering. The obedience of Abel, how he lived for God, how he worked with God, it pleased God. My brothers and sisters, when Jesus was just preaching, a voice came down from heaven. This is my beloved son, in whom am I pleased, Father said, indicating that when he would offer himself as a sacrifice, it will be sweet savor unto the Lord. It will be pleasing unto him because he was obedient. He was pleasing unto the Father. And Abel, my brother and sister, the Lord had respect unto Abel. Oh, he saw, he and my son, he's my son, he's my son. Look at him, he's my son. He's doing the right thing. He's doing exactly what I'm asking him. Look how he walked with me. Look how he keep my commandments. He's awesome. My son Abel, and unto his offering now. Oh, it was pleasing. The Lord was pleased. He was pleased with Abel. My brother insisted. But now comes with a boy who had a bad attitude. My brother insisted. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. He was a Ryan X, some people say. But look, but unto Cain. You got to get the butt there. Because it was totally different than being obedient. But unto Cain and to his offering, he had no respect. Hallelujah. My brother and sister, that word respect in the Bible can go long with God. When God had no respect, my brother and sister, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Peter says to the church in 1 Peter 2:17, honor all men, love thy brotherhood, fear God, and honor the king. When God commands you and I to do something, it's because God himself keeps it. My brothers and sisters, notice that Jesus never asked the disciples to do something that he himself did not do. Okay? He himself kept it, lived. Hallelujah, because he's the word. Yes, he's the word. But he was the greatest example. He is. Hallelujah. My brother and sister, hallelujah. Psalm 44, Blessed is the man that maketh the Lord his trust, and respecteth not the proud, nor such are turned aside to lie. Notice the respect, my brothers and sisters. Hallelujah. God did not respect Cain. He honored Abel, but did not respect the Cain. My brothers and sisters, Cain was not a respectable person. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. God have mercy. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Psalm 138:6. That the Lord is be high. Yea, he respect unto the lowly, but to the proud he knoweth far off. What was the problem with Cain? God knew Cain far off. He had no respect for him. He knew him far off. There was not that intimacy. There was no intimacy before between Cain and God. And yet we get the revelation Cain was of the evil one. He was the son of Satan. We'll get that later. But he had no respect for him, my brother and sister. Like he had no respect for the wicked. He had no respect for the evil, my brother and sister. Thank you, Lord. Praise you, God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Isaiah 17:7, at that day shall men look unto his maker, God Almighty, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. In his eyes shall have respect for the Holy One of Israel. Hallelujah. We're going to look at God, says Isaiah, and we're going to have respect for him. Oh, Father, thank you. Blessed be thy name. Hallelujah. We'll have respect for him in heaven. We're going to live in our eternity with God, and we're going to honor him, and we're going to have respect for him. And God's going to have pleasure in us. He will be pleased in us. This is my beloved son, and who am I pleased? Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise you, Lord. Thank you, God. Isaiah 22:11. He made also the ditch between the two walls, the water, the spoil, have not looked unto the maker thereof, neither have respect unto him that fashioned long ago. And that's what happened with the wicked. They will have no respect, but we will have respect unto our maker, says Isaiah. But you notice here the wicked had no respect on him that the fashion and long ago. God made everything. Why shouldn't we have respect to him or for him? He made everything, my brothers and sisters. But that is the case of the wicked, that the wicked is not going to have respect. Although God wants us to be respectful, obedient, my brothers and sisters, to him is better than sacrifice. Hallelujah. And that obedience to him comes that when we tell us to do something, we do it, and he loves it. And so when Abel, who God had respect for, went and made the sacrifice, God was pleased. My brother and sister, thank you, Lord. Thank you, God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. We need to be like Abel and not like Cain. But Cain, into his offering, he had no respect. And Cain was very rough, and his countenance fell. Hallelujah. And the Lord said unto Cain, why art thou wrath? Why is thy countenance fallen? And if thou will, thou will be not be accepted. If thou dost well, shall now thou be accepted? So if you do the right thing, will you not be accepted? If thou dost not do well, sin lie at the door, and unto thee should be his desire, and thou should rule over him. Hallelujah. And this speaks also of the Antichrist having ruling during the Great Tribulation in the last days. Because notice the authority here, some people say God gave it to him over Abel, but since Cain it was that the evil one is the first seed shown to us of the Antichrist. So Abel being that seed and is shown to us, God said that if he does well, that should be accepted. And if thou not well, then sin lieth at the door, and unto thee shall be the his desire, and thou shalt rule over him. And this is the ruling of the Antichrist during the Great Tribulation for 7 years. My brothers and sisters, very significant to that. That time is coming. Okay? Now, neither the Antichrist and neither his sacrifice are pleasing unto the Lord. God will not receive. But the Jewish people, his people, who represent Abel, when they make the sacrifice, God will move. God will do something special. Jerusalem is not only the capital of the Jewish people. It's the capital of the world. Very significant in the Bible. When you see read 2 Chronicles 6, read it when you have time. It's a long chapter. And 7, then you get a good understanding what Jerusalem is and how God has said it. And there's a word there, forever. God established it forever. That means that cannot be changed. That will not change. That's why we'll get the Lord in the millennium, 1,000-year reign with Christ. We're going to get the Lord in Jerusalem, because that's the promise of God. Messiah will rule there like a rod of iron. He's going to be there for 1,000 years, and each and one of us will have to give him an account for everything we do every day. Every day early in the morning, those that the Lord sending out with a mission to evangelize, to do his work, we're going to give him an account every morning. He'll give us a scroll. He'll give us in writing the task for the day that he wants us to do. The Lord took me there and showed me this. He gave it to me. I was able to read and remember and do exactly what the Lord commanded. That's going to be for 1,000-year reign with Christ. Now, the Lord had shown us, yes, that not all of us will last 1,000 years there. Some will last 800, 900, 500, 400 years there. It all depends. The Lord can reveal to you for how long you're going to be there with the Lord in that millennium. And then some are not coming down after they go home in the rapture. They're not coming down to the millennium. Very few are staying home, but not all are coming down to do this work for the Lord. A lot of us have a strong desire to do it. God already put it in us. If you have that strong desire in your heart, if you know in your heart that you want to do this work for the Lord, you want to be obedient, you want to reach out to other people, you want to lead people to the kingdom, that strong desire has been put in you by the Lord. I know I'm going to be there. I'm going to be doing this work for the Lord. The Lord several times has spoken to me about this, has shown it to me. My brother and sister, it's been in my heart to reach out to the lost, to lead people to Christ for so many years now, over 30 years. So I know that since the Lord has spoken to me, that's for this I was born, to lead people to Christ, to lead people to the Lord, to lead people to repentance, understanding what is coming, that we are in the last of the last. So in this revelation, the morning before yesterday morning, I find myself standing in the days to come. This EMP was launched over America. I didn't see the nation who dropped it. We know for years that Russia, China, and all this are planning this behind closed door. Because at one time, I was over California with the Lord, and we were looking over Russia. We could see in the spirit so clear that they were planning, waiting for this, to whatever they're gonna be doing. My brother and sister, they can cause bad weather. That's one thing the Lord showed me. I seen Russia using a weapon to cause bad weather in the United States, especially over California. It causes billions of dollars. Every time there are flooding, there are home destroys over city, over state, it causes billions of dollars. That's not good for the economy. It is not good for the country. And the Russians know this. And they have these weapons that they can cause this bad weather and cause river flow, river taking over towns like we seen last week in Texas. Texas last few days was over flooded. I mean, so many homes underwater. This causes billions of dollars in loss. And that's what their enemies are doing as a nation, my brother and sister. Hallelujah. But they're also waiting for the moment until they launch the EMP. And the EMP they're going to launch, shalom, Brother Miguel, the EMP is going to knock down all cell towers that was standing there in this park, like, listen, seem to me like in Washington, D.C., or Maryland, around that area there. And that EMP had taken out all the towers. I could look to the cell phone tower. They were not working. I had a cell phone in my hand. I was pressing the button, seeing, you know, where on top of the screen on your phone, you can see if your cell phone is connected to the tower. No, no connection at all. None. It was none. I could look to the tower and see that, no, they were not working. And then the power outages was tremendous. I knew that our entire country was out of power, my brother and sister. And then I'm walking in the park with my two sons, Levi and Joshua, and we can see cell phone on every side of the walkway. My brother Sula cell phone, lady Samsung, lady iPhones, all kinds of cell phone people just throwing it on the floor. They were useless, useless, my brother and sister, useless. And so I keep looking over the city, and it was already getting a little bit late, and there was no power at all. That EMP had burned whatever generator people had. People had stoves, fridges. I don't know if some of the older fridge will be burned or will be out of service. Maybe they were out of service because there was no power in the houses. Okay, but I knew that all this have affected people greatly, my brother and sister. I have peace about the whole matter. I wasn't concerned. I wasn't worried. I wasn't nervous or anything. To me, it was like, well, the Lord told us this was coming. I've been preparing for this. In my own thinking, in my own mind, in my own heart, I was thinking the Lord had, you know, this is to me, you know, this is not new, but this is information that God wants me to share with my brothers and sisters because this is close to come and it's going to happen. But I can see all of our city with no power. And I knew that the main power, our grid, was burned out with the EMP. And that, to me, coming back and thinking about what the Lord has shown me, it's better concerning to the people because how can they not worry about protecting our grid? But again, they're not for us. They're against us. We're such in the last day that the church means so little for them. They don't even want the church anymore. They don't want the gospel. They're rejecting the gospel, but they don't realize that by rejecting the church and rejecting the gospel, they're rejecting Jesus. They're rejecting God's mercy, my brothers and sisters. So it's terrible, 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 my brothers and sisters. And I could walk, and I'm trying to look, get a good view of what I'm seeing, get a good understanding of what's happening. And I can see the people trying to go on the cell phone, no internet. They could not text. They could not call. Those basic things, nothing. They would not work. It was just not work. And I could see people just throwing the cell phone away, and it was useless. My brother insisted. And the question is, where do we go from there? Because it's going to take them months, maybe years, to fix the cell tower and fix the grid. That's another issue. Grid takes billions of dollars in repair once it's completely burned. They got to remove all the old equipment and bring all new equipment. But just for our government, for our country, to begin to build new equipment, that takes time. To move those equipment, it takes time also. And to get everything, it had taken, 60, 70 years to get our cell tower where it is, and over 100 years to get our grid where it is, my brother and sister. And our grid is so large, because I've seen it. Hallelujah. It's so large, okay, that the equipment are so large. They are built mostly on the ground, okay? And again, yes, we have a lot of elder that depends on elevator, and they depend on oxygen. All that runs for electricity. And yeah, they will die, right? And then the babies in the hospital, they need oxygen. And all the food processing plants need electricity. And there will be none. So they won't be able to process anything. Here's the other thing, because I have some solar. I'm thinking about solar panels, but then solar panel has controller, has so many equipment attached to it, they also will be burned, completely burned. And then if our hours burn and all the warehouses stuff, controllers and stuff are burned, it's going to be very difficult and very hard to generate any power. My brother and sister. Sister said that FBI said if U.S. has an AMP attack, 90% of the people will die within 1 year. That's, wow. Those are estimations they give you. But I tell you, it's going to be difficult. It's going to be hard. And we need to pray. We need to fast. We need to call upon the Lord to help us. I know the Lord has shown me it's going to get to the part where we're not going to be able to get food. Food supply, whether in a few weeks we come short or nothing. Because supermarkets, since there will be no delivery, they will not get any food delivered. And since everything is run with fresh electricity, all those food banks that we have in the United States, we have a lot of them. I said they said have what 200 food banks, which supply all the supermarkets in the U.S. in every single state. They run with electricity. That EMP will burn all the fridge, and it was millions and billions of dollars just right there on those food banks. Gone. The food will go bad right away. Okay? 3 days, I know this because I used to live in the countryside back in the island. If you kill a cow and you don't put that meat in within the fridge in a day or two, in 3 days or four, it's bad. Okay? It's bad. And so, my brother and sister, things are about to change. And I've been saying this for years, and I'll say it again. I believe the population is not ready for what is about to come. They're just not ready. Not ready. I take the word serious because it's come from the Lord that these things are about to happen. But I know this for a fact. Our population are not ready for this type of judgment, for this type of correction. I know God is bringing everyone on their knees to cry out to him, which right now is not happening. Not happening. It's just not happening. But this type of judgment will bring everyone on their knees. The Lord already has shown it to me. I've seen this nation across this nation one time. The Lord showed me this, that when this judgment comes, people will cry out back to God. After a few days and weeks without cell phone, without food, without electricity, weeks and months, people begin to cry out and cry out and cry out. Their reality hit them so hard right away. It's like day and night, everyone realizing, what have we done? We have not listened to the Lord. We have not obeyed him. We have disregarded his word, his prophet, his message. Oh, God. And people begin to cry out. And I believe all this is what's going to lead to the revival. My brother and sister. Yes, there will be a cleansing. I'm still thinking whether 3 days of darkness will fit and all this. The Lord says they will come. Remember the Lord confirming them to me a few weeks ago. The 3 days of darkness. I'm like, Lord. Because you're thinking, well, where 3 days of darkness is going to fit with an earthquake, an eastern tsunami. But the Lord, as he showed me, the 3 days of darkness will come. He says it's in his word, though. He has said it to his prophet. They are in my word 3 days of darkness. Read my word, it's there. So you cannot question the Lord on what he said. He knows it's in his word. We have read it several times. So then this mess of no power, no electricity, and then food shortages right away. And then the government with their FEMA, they'll try to help our people, my brother and sister, but then they'll tell the multitude, I'm sorry, but then they martial law. I believe this year, before it's over, martial law is going to come in place. Right now, the protests in the different states is grievous to the nation. And they're planning even more. I hear online they're planning more. They're not giving up. So all this will lead to martial law very soon, my brother and sister. So going into martial law soon, someone has said, this is why I'm careful, because then people say, Brother Elvis said, I didn't say this thing. I'm telling you something someone else says, that the Lord says to this person, before the election, there will be martial law. I hear it, okay. The Lord had not said it to me. I said it to someone else. I respect other prophets. I'm not going to argue with them or disagree. I'm not the only one the Lord is speaking to. As the Lord says to someone, look, martial law will be before the election. Someone saw martial law, and for that reason, the election being delayed because of the martial law, and that it was all planned. Now, another brother said, I'm trying to think who it was, that he saw Donald Trump coming back into office again for the last 4 years. You know that that's not what they're planning. That's what they're not what they want. I know the Lord has said to someone, I can put Donald Trump back into office if people pray. I know that I've been praying. The Lord told me to pray for Donald Trump. I'm praying for him, my brother and sister. I hope he'll come out of these court cases and be able to run for office. Okay? The Lord told me to pray for him. That's the only reason I'm praying for him, my brother and sister. Because what he has done to all the things he's done, he's done a lot of things which are not righteous. But God is having mercy on him. If God has mercy, who can judge him, my brother and sister? Amen? When he was in office, things were a little better. Not great, but a little better, my brother and sister. I believe that when Jesus Christ is in office, things are going to be great. When he's in Jerusalem leading the whole world for 1,000 years, that's when things are going to be great for us. It's all going to flow milk and honey. And we will have no need of anything. He'll make sure every single person eats and have enough to eat. In abundance is all over the earth. That's a great promise. I saw it with my own eyes. Jesus has taken me there several times. I seen it. And I love what the Lord's going to do in the millennium. I love it. I love how he's going to take care of every single person. When someone wants to talk with Jesus, he's going to take the time and come face-to-face with that person and speak with that person and hear the person and answer the person and take care of the person, my brother and sister. His great promise to each and one of us. In that 1,000 years, you're going to love Jesus even more when you see him and see how he loves people and take care of everyone. That's why no one in heaven have any lack of anything. On the contrary, abundance. I saw one of my last trips in heaven. I saw abundance of food. Tables, white tables, covered beautiful, full of food. I mean, it was enough food for everyone to eat. No lack, nothing. It was abundance. He wants to take care of every single of us. You will have no need. You will have no lack with the Lord. He will make sure you have everything you need and take care of you. You will never complain of anything with him. Because he'll answer you before you even ask. Okay? You will be beautiful and young forever. Full of light. You never need to eat. And if you want to eat, you can eat whatever you want. I mean, and have a beautiful home. Beautiful mansion. My brother and sister, the Lord is going to take care of his own, his people. You know, he gave us an example with the children of Israel when they went into the wilderness. I was reading that the Lord, when God said, I will send my angel before thee, when the Lord came, he appears to them as the cloud during the day and as the fire during the night. And I'm like, because I was thinking, Lord, how was it that the Lord manifested himself before them? Well, they saw the angel of the Lord among them. That was one way. He spoke with them. He was right in front of them. When the children of Israel were marching to fight any enemy, the Lord was in front of them, fighting for them. That's why Joshua, before they go into Jericho, the first thing he sees the angel of the Lord. And he said, are you with them or are you with us? Then he understood that angel there, that him he was speaking, he always been there. You know, say people take the Lord for granted. It's like they took him for granted. He was right there with them, fighting for them. And Joshua sees him, and he's wondering, because when you see him, he's familiar. As the Lord says, the Lord revealed to me the other day, my son, everything you feel, I feel. Whatever you're going through, I'm going it through you. I'm going it. I'm with you going through it together. Everything you feel, everything you experience, I experience it. What you experience, because I'm with you. And we don't realize that the person of the Holy Spirit in our life is our Lord Jesus Christ. And that everything we experience, when you experience pain, when you experience sorrow, when you experience sickness, he's experiencing the same thing with you and I. And that really shocked me when the Lord revealed me this. I'm like that, Lord. He says, everything you experience, I experience it with you too. Because I am in you. And I'm like, I didn't realize that. I did not realize that before he revealed it to me. I had the Lord standing in front of me telling me this. I'm like, whoa, the things that, like the children of Israel, we take for granted. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Thank you, God. We take it for granted, but he is with us. The person of the Holy Spirit is the Lord Jesus. Paul says to the church, for the Lord is the Spirit. And I am not surprised. Also, the Holy Spirit is the Lord. Yeah. He told his disciple, I will be with you all the day of thy life. That means he's with us. He's in us. He told his disciple, I will not leave you. I will not forsake you. I will not abandon you. Hallelujah. And that realization, when the Lord is standing in there telling you this, my brothers and sisters, the other day when I was taken into heaven, the Holy Spirit spoke to me. But when he spoke to me, it was him that is inside me. It was him. It was the Lord. It was the Holy Spirit. He spoke to me. Hallelujah. In that revelation of that angel teacher, that it was this mighty angel, but 30 foot tall, a mighty, mighty angel of God. All of a sudden, I saw him. He went and turned. Hallelujah. And to this person that was 5 feet, 6 feet, the most, the teacher. And it was teaching these people. Thank you, Lord. The class. Praise you, Lord. Thank you, God. We're going to learn so much in heaven. University. Hallelujah. The class. We're going to learn. Things are going to be explained to us. We're going to love it. If you love to learn, God will give us the opportunity. I remember when he revealed to me, Elvie, you on earth, you want to go to college. You want to go and study. Remember when the Lord told me to quit? I was in college online. and it was my first year, about 6 months into class already, and the Lord told me to quit. And I try to, like, am I hearing right? Am I hearing the Lord? And so I went back to the Lord and prayed. I said, Lord, he says to me, I told you to quit. Then I'm like questioning, why will God don't want me to study? Like I was questioning the Lord. What was so wrong about it? Why other people go to college and study and graduate and get a degree, bachelor, master. You know, I was just getting an associate degree. And the Lord tell me, no. And I like, Lord, I'm going to get a great job with this. I pay. You know? And the Lord says, no. I want you to. My GPA was very high. I was very happy. I was doing something exciting in college. The Lord says, no. I want you to quit. Like, wow. So immediately I realized I was telling people, look, I'm studying this, my career, you know, it's a high-paying position that I was going for with the state. And me quitting without a degree, I would not have gotten the position. Thank you, Lord. Then the Lord began to explain to me the things, how everything, the Antichrist, all these things are behind all that stuff now, and there's so much contamination and that me spending the time with him and learning of him, seeking him, committing my life to him and fasting was more important. Him taking me to heaven and teaching me, learning of him, like Moses going out to the mountain for 40 days with the Lord speaking every day. He began to explain to me that me learning of him was more important. Hallelujah. That the teaching of him will correct me. And I'm like, how will it correct me, Lord? He says, it will. You may not know now, but it will, my son. I don't want you to quit it. So I did. I told my wife, okay, no, I'm not doing it. She was surprised because, you know, I loved it. I was doing great. And so, wow, okay, I did it. I quit it. Then after fasting and praying with the Lord, he began to take me to heaven, I remember. He had me speaking with his servants. And the Lord would come to me and speak with me face to face. But the fasting and repenting a lot and really the fasting will hurt my bone, will hurt my body. But I would stay committed to it with the Lord for days. But the Lord would give me strength and give me health. And I will fast for days, and my skin will be shining. My face will be shining of the presence of the Lord. But then I will not be hungry. He will give me strength and health. I was not even sick. I had insurance. And for the insurance sake, I had to go see my personal doctor. And I will have the doctor check me. He will drum blood out of me and check me. And I said, doctor, is there anything wrong with me? Doctor looked at me and said, I don't find anything wrong with you. Nothing wrong with you. You know? And he will ask him, how do you feel? Why are you so concerned? He's thinking that I'm so concerned for my health. But I just want to make sure that I'm doing these things the Lord's telling me to do, but the Lord's taking care of me. I'm not even getting sick or anything. And spending time with the Lord. I will go into my fasting. He will take me out of my body. I'll be in heaven or in the millennium. He will be showing me these things and explaining them to me. So I'm like, Lord, always like a little kid not knowing anything, taking me to the millennium in heaven and explaining these mighty things to me. Now I'm like, Lord, that is so awesome. That is so great. He's showing me his kingdom to come, showing me his plan for his church, his people. How are they going to reign with him 1,000 years? 1,000 years with him. He will be the law. He will be our God there. He will be with us. And we have no need of anything. So in heaven, he reminded me, oh, I know how much you want to go to college. But you cannot on earth. But in heaven, you will have the blessing to go study what you want. and become whatever you want. Learn whatever you want. He revealed me that in heaven. I was so happy because I have forgotten, because so many years have passed already, over 14 years, 16 years. But he reminded me of what I wanted, that he told me, put it off, quit it. And heaven, when you come, you can go ahead and continue your career, learn. But it's going to be pure learn. That's why he had me meet one of the teachers, an angel, mighty angel of the Lord. And it was teaching with such a grace of God, such a love, such a care. My brother, sister, it's pure knowledge of God, pure wisdom of God. They love God. They love the Lord. And they will never mislead one of his children. And on earth, people can be misled. These professors are involved in witchcraft, idolatry, in the heaven. No one knows but only God. And then they're teaching all this to the students, these rebellions, protesting, that always end up in riots. Remember the Lord beginning to talk to me about violence, showing me in his word violence to come. And I've been preaching here on the Lord's Hour, Genesis 6, about the violence that will be coming. And now seeing it on television is a reminder of what the Lord's been showing me for years, that these things will come, that they were close to come. 2 years ago, he began to show me that very soon this nation, there will be riots, protesting and violence, rioting. Rioting is still to come. And it's going to be all over the country. All over the country. My brother and sister. And I knew that with this President Biden, there will be violence. He showed me. While he will be in office, violence will come upon the land. He's tied to violence. He's tied to witchcraft. In a few days, he showed me him drinking the blood of the innocent in a secret meeting. I'm like, wow. So much is behind all this, that in the days to come, these things will come to being displayed, and people will be shocked. People are already shocked with the violence in the school and wondering, why are they not stopping this right from the beginning? You know, it's terrible. But those are the time we're in, my brother and sister. We're in really... Really, Proverbs 17:11, evil men seek only rebellion. Notice this. Therefore, cruel messenger shall be sent against him. And that cruel messengers are fallen ones, sent against him. Against those cruel messengers. And people will not like what they're going to see in the days to come. But it's in the word of God. And notice that it says, it's against God. Hallelujah. Job 34:37, for he had a rebellion unto his sin. He clapped his hand among us and multiplied his word against God. What they're doing is against God. That's a slapping in the face of the Lord, he showed me. It is against God. Jeremiah 28:16. Thou sayest the Lord, behold, I will cast thee from off the face of the earth. This year thou shalt die, because thou hast thought rebellion against the Lord. This is the problem. That what they're teaching to the people, what they're speaking through CNN, is rebellion against the young people in the college, the university. And when they see that on CNN, they are learning rebellions unto his sin. Hallelujah. Rebellions. And so, because thou hast thou rebelling against the Lord, death follow. The kingdom of death shall thou shall die. That's the kingdom of death. Open up because of this rebellion. My brother and sister, it's terrible. Terrible, but it's against the Lord. It's against God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Joshua 22:22, the Lord God, the Lord God of God. He knoweth Israel, he shall know if he be in rebellion or in transgression against the Lord to save us this day. The Lord is the one who knows, and the Lord is the one revealing rebellion in this nation. Hallelujah. Rebellion, and that is so dangerous. When my brother and sister, rebellion shows up among the people, among the nation, when the nation rises up in rebellion, then Samuel says to Saul that for rebellion is a sin of witchcraft. So witchcraft now is behind rebellion. And the secret, what the Lord showed me this past week, stubbornness and the iniquity and idolatry is because I reject the word of the Lord. So the foundation of what the outcome, rebellion, which is witchcraft, the sin of witchcraft, stubbornness, which is a sin of iniquity, what is the foundation of that? The rejection of the word of the Lord. When people begin to reject the word of the Lord, the manifestation of rebellion, which is a sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness, which is a sin of iniquity and idolatry. Idolatry in our nations. Mason temples among our nation now are more and more being built in the United States. Masonic temple, which is idolatry. That is the rebellion spirit in our nations. It will manifest itself in the Masonic temple, idolatry, and in that hidden witchcraft in those temples. It's all part of that rebellion in this nation. My brother and sister, may God have mercy. Hallelujah. May God have mercy. Hallelujah. And this is not new. This is not new. Ezra 4:19. And I commanded the search that has been made and found that the city in old time have made insurrection against the king, and rebellion and sedition have they made therein. This is not new. This has been going on since the times of Noah and the times of Lot. These are familiar spirits that have come upon the people among the nation, rebellion spirits, witchcraft, idolatry. They become horrid. They, in the rejection of the word, you'll see it. What they're rejecting God, the gospel now. Why they're rejecting Christians. You go on the sidewalk and you want to share the gospel. Stay away from me. Keep that away from me. They say, why is this rejection of the word? That rebellion spirit, my brothers and sisters, that's been going on. It's a fact. Now, I was watching a group online, one of those building 19, the nation building. People went in the parking lot to share the gospel. They called the police on them and said, get out of my property. We don't want no gospel being shared on our property. Public buildings where everyone goes there to buy different stuff. People, Christians being rejected from sharing the gospel in their parking lot, not even inside the building, no interruption of the business or anything. Just sharing the gospel normally, being friendly to people. And the police been called to get the people off the property because they're being offended of the gospel being shared. This is a reality in the United States. My brothers and sisters, it's getting worse and worse and worse every day. And we see this, that this happened before. Nehemiah 9:17, they refused to obey. Neither were mindful of thy wonder that thou did among them, but hardened their neck, and the rebellion appointed captain to return to their bondage. Here's the thing. They will appoint people into office just like them that will please them. That's why Biden was appointed into office, Obama previously, before Trump. And that's why they want to get someone in office again for another 4 or 8 years that is in favor of the rebellion. It's in favor of the rejecting the gospel. My brother and sister, they want people like themselves And they did this according to Nehemiah. They refused to obey, neither were mindful of thy wonder that thou did among them, by hardening their neck, and the rebellion appointed captain. And returned to the bondage, because that's exactly what the nation would do. When they appoint the people they want in office, they return to the bondage by their God, a God ready to pardon, gracious and mercy, slow to anger, great in kindness, and forsake them not. God always being there for them, but they kept rejecting God. And there had to be, that's when his correction has to come. Because true judgment is in hell. Correction comes from God to correct the nation and say, no. You're rejecting my commandment. You're rejecting my mercy and grace for you. Hallelujah. It is sad, but it's the fact of what is happening today. Jeremiah 29:32. Therefore, I say to the Lord, behold, I will punish Amia, Maranai, and his seed. He shall not have no man to dwell among his people, neither shall his behold the good that I will do for my people, saith the Lord, because thou hast thou rebellion against the Lord. Same thing God had just said before through Solomon, through Joel, through Nehemiah, that what they're teaching is against the Lord. That's what is being taught in our nations. It's against the Lord. Rebellion, because he hath thou rebellion against the Lord. It's a fact. It's happening, and it keep happening, my brothers and sisters. But we don't take part in it. So we don't take part of her judgment, the Bible says. Because we'll be partaker of her judgment if we take part in it. We humble ourselves. We repent. We ask the Lord to have mercy and for the Lord to keep us and protect us. And we keep praying for soul to be in faith. We keep praying for soul to be in faith. For the Lord to have mercy and continue to save souls in our nation and around the world. And the Lord is faithful to answer our prayer. He would answer our prayer and continue to save souls. Continue to save people from the pit. My brother and sister, when we pray, thank you, Lord. We pray for that sister that lost her son this past week, and God was merciful. And Brad and believe was able to find her son. My brother and sister, people requesting prayer, the Lord's been answering. That's the Lord's mercy. He wants to answer us. He wants to be there for us. So we don't dismay. We don't be, hallelujah, with our head down, complaining, murmuring. No. There's a time when God is quiet and you pray, but it doesn't mean you quit on your prayer. You keep praying and you keep waiting on the Lord. And then there's a time he comes and he just answers you. And then I said, Lord, are you going to answer? And he said, yes. And you just ask. I'm like, okay, Lord. He will open the door. He will make all these things that the enemy has stolen return back to us. My brother and sister, he's there for us. He's there. When I asked him a few days ago, Lord, will you answer? Yes. Yes. Amen. Then the sister contacted me. Police found them. They found them, brother. We thank you for your prayer. Thank you, Lord. And we have continued to pray for other cases, other petitions. And the Lord is answering them. Oh, glory to the Lord and unto us. This mercy, this is grace. Don't give up on your prayer petition. Whatever you want the Lord to do, just continue to ask. Fast for you. For your prayer petition, if you've been praying, fast for it. And you'll see the Lord is faithful. I remember that sister in the wheelchair. Almost every day I will come on the air. I say, oh, will you please ask the Lord to heal me? I've been over 12 years in my bed, Brother Elby. I've been listening to you for years now, Brother Elby. 2 years now, I remember she said one time. And I've been writing to you, and the Lord has not healed me, Brother Elby. What's going on? Can you ask the Lord? Why has he not healed me? And I said, sister, fast right there as much as you can. Oh, brother, I got to take my medication. Fast as much as you can. And pray, sister. Pray. The Lord is faithful. Until we kept praying, one day the Lord came and heal her. And she was able to rise from that bed. The mother had taken her to several doctor's appointments, and they checked her leg, and doctor, nothing we can do. Okay? She's going to be like this for the rest of her life. And now the sisters are traveling to different states, going around. The things she could not do before to her healing, she's been healed, and she's still healed. Remember, I was talking about her in one of the other programs. She contacted me. Said, Brother, I heard you talking about me in the Lord's Hour, and I'm letting you know I'm still healed, brother. I'm doing my travel. Thank you, Lord, that I could not do before. So, amen, sister. Amen. Amen. Oh, glory to the Lord. My brother and sister, we give glory to the Lord. So many miracles, thousands of miracles we see. And I know the Lord can continue to do this. We have to ask the Lord to increase our faith. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. The Lord is faithful. Whatever you're asking him for, he will grant it in his time. His time. I was watching a movie last night. This man lost his wife to cancer. And it was a testimony made into a movie. And right when he was like all destroyed because, you know, he was a Christian, lost his wife to cancer, he was lonely now, my brother and sisters. But here's the thing. At the end, the Lord took him to heaven about three times. And showed him his wife in heaven. When he married her, I believe she was around her early 20s, and she was young and beautiful, full of hair. And when she had cancer, she lost her hair, pale. Everything changed about her. And in heaven, she was young. She says to him, look at me. Look how the Lord has restored everything back to me. My health. My body, my life. Look at my hair. Beautiful hair. He looked at her and cried and said, wow. Young, like when I met you. And beautiful. You are not like this when you die. She's like, no. But look what the Lord has done. And she said in heaven, look at what house the Lord has given me. And when he arrived in heaven, his daughter, who they lost early in time, that they cried for, she received him in heaven and said, Daddy. And he knew that was his daughter, and she ran and gave him a hug. And he's like, oh, my Lord. He's crying of joy and happiness. But he says, Daddy, there's someone in the house that wants to see you. And he started thinking of all the brothers that had passed away in the church and all that. And he walked into the house, his wife. And as they were hugging, and the wife said, look at what the Lord has given us. Look at the lake outside. Look how beautiful this place is. Some of his friends came over in heaven that had previously died in the Lord. And they came to hug him and see him in heaven. And said, oh, we're so glad you're visiting. And he says, I wish I was here with you guys already. And they said to him, look, you'll be here in the moment of the Lord. Just wait for his moment. He's been on earth complaining how lonely he is. And he's been aging. He's overweight. He feels so abandoned. But now that the Lord takes him to heaven, he sees all this marvelous miracle of God. My brother and sister, he's crying like a baby and he wants to stay. But each and one of them is telling him, wait in the moment of the Lord for you. He has a moment for each and one of us. And you will be here in the Lord's moment, enjoying this place. Because it is for his people. The Lord is faithful. And he will bring you here. And they know all this because the Lord in heaven tells them this. I have people tell me the same. I'm in heaven. Family. My father. because they talk with the Lord. I seen them in the throne of the Lord, my grandmother, my daughter, Emerald. And they talk with the Lord, and the Lord say, your father will be here. And they tell you, you'll be here. The Lord has said, my grandmother says to me in heaven, she's young no more than 20, and said to me, my grandmother, I remember, she said, my son, you know I love you like my own son. You'll be here. The Lord Jesus told me this, that you'll be here with us. And I thank you, Grandma. She's all lovely and beautiful. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. I'm 52. My grandmother's 20. How do you like that now? Hallelujah. If she was on earth now, she probably would have been 160. And she's only 20 forever in heaven. Beautiful. Thank you, beautiful hair. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. Thank you, Jesus. The miracle of God. The miracle of the Lord. My brother and sister. He's all. The bird that you hear singing in the back. Those parakeets. My brother and sister. I wanted them to have babies for years. And I said, maybe something the Lord can make it happen. I went and talked to someone about it and said, hey, one of those pet professionals in the pet shop. He said, buy them this, buy them that. God led me to the right person. And now they have babies inside the box, my brother and sister, and they sing to the Lord. You hear them all happy. When I talk about the Lord, they're all excited. When we're not talking about the Lord, they stay quiet, and they just look at us. They love to hear the name of Jesus. They love to hear the praise to the Lord. Marvelous. For some reason, it's what the Lord has given me. I call it my worship crowd. Marvelous, sister. Thank you, Lord. He's so good. They get excited. They get excited, my brother and sister. But even that little thing, they were told to the brother in heaven, listen, on earth, be thankful to the Lord. The Lord was telling me this, enjoy the little things. Be thankful for the little things. Be thankful and enjoy the little things. We take for granted many things in our life. And we like to ask for this, that. But what God has given us now, are we being thankful for it? Thank Him for the water. Thank Him for the food. Thank Him for what you have. Instead of complaining and murmuring. Because that's what the children of Israel did. They complained and murmured for the things they didn't have. But were not thankful for the things God was giving them. You see, you will take for granted what God is giving you now for the things you want Him to give you. And He will give you those things in His timing. But He wants you to be grateful now for what you have. The little thing. Remember, be grateful. Be thankful. Let that thankful word come out of your mouth every day. Lord, thank you for this. Thank you for this friendship. Thank you for my brother. Thank you for my children. Thank you even for my neighbor, Lord. There are things you can see and say, wow, God is so good. Hallelujah. He is so awesome. And when you begin to be thankful for the little thing, then you begin to enjoy what you have. My brother and sister, you know why people don't enjoy what they have now? It's because they're not thankful to the Lord. They're so concerned for the things they don't have yet. They will have it. They will have it. But they don't have yet. They're so concerned for them that what they have now, they're not being thankful for. And that's what was being told to the brother in heaven. He was down here all depressed, complaining about his life. When he came down to earth, he went to his pastor and said, Pastor, I don't know why my life is this way. And the pastor says to him, I want to ask you a question. What was it that your wife, before she went to heaven, asked you to do? Do you remember? And he says, well, she asked me to change my job. I'm working nighttime in God, and she asked me to work daytime so I could enjoy things in my life. And the pastor said, do you do that? He says, no, I haven't. Do you see simple little things that maybe your child, your wife is asking you, your husband, your mother, your friend, I mean God, asking you to do? And the pastor said, you know who was the voice of God in your life? Your wife. God was using your life, your wife, to work with him, to change him better. And no, he wasn't listening. And the majority of us, that's what we do. We don't listen. And that's when we complain. Why is this happening in my life? Are you thankful even for your car? God, there are people who doesn't have 2, 3, 4 pair of shoes, and you have it. Are you thankful for that? There are people having a difficult time finding clean water. You have clean water in your house. Are you thankful for that? You see, there's so many things we need to be thankful for. You know, look at right now. We have power, electricity, internet, cell phone, and all these things. If it's being used for God's kingdom, it's great. Now, what do you think happened when we have no power, no grid, no cell phone, no car because we cannot go get gas because gas station will have no gas too? Then cars are useless. You can have a beautiful porch, Ferrari in your garage, but without gas, it's useless. Useless. Okay? It will be the same like any Toyota. So, you know, we complain even about the car we have or this or that. But if we see, one thing with Moses and Aaron was, and Joshua was, that while the people were complaining, Moses and them were quiet about everything. You see? Moses was quiet. Aaron was quiet. Joshua was quiet while the people were murmuring, oh, Moses, you brought us into the wilderness to perish. We were better off in Egypt. That's a lie. They were never better off in Egypt because from the day they stepped the foot in the wilderness, God gave them manna from heaven, the Bible says. For 40 years, God gave them manna from heaven. And manna signifies supply their need. He supplied their need. How many of us can say, I went to bed without eating because I had no money to buy food? My brother and sister. How many can say that? No, God is taking care of us. God has made sure we have something to eat. My brother and sister. I remember when I had no money to buy food and eat, God touched someone to bring me food. Brothers and sisters, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, God. Thank you, Jesus. We get the greater blessing, and it's to pray, to commune with God, to talk to the Almighty, and even to hear what he has to say, for him to express our heart to us and say, my child, change this, or I'm giving you this, or I'm with you, not left and not forsaking you. We get the great blessing to hear that, that God is with us, not to be afraid of our enemy or what our enemy can do to us, because the Almighty is behind us. It's a shield and a protection to you and I. What a blessing that is. The God fight for us. The Lord, when he comes to Moses to send them to the children of Israel, he says to go present himself before the elder and show him a sign. But he says to Moses, I'm going to remove from before you the Canaanite, the Hittite, the Jebusite, all these rotten nations. He says he was going to remove all the enemy from before them. Bible resisted. Because the headaches, the trouble that the children of Israel were going to have was those nations coming against them to rob them, to steal from them, to kill, steal, and destroy as the enemy. My brothers and sisters. And God said, no, I'm going to remove them right before you. A guarantee. It's like before you take the loan out of the bank is giving you a guarantee and giving you victory over your enemy. God is guaranteeing them. I am God, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. God is putting a stamp over his promise to the children of Israel that I will remove the enemy from before thee. My brother and sister, that guarantee, not many have it. But God has given it to us as people that he will fight for us, that he will remove our enemy from before us, that he will not leave us, neither forsaken us. My brother and sister, when angel, when people in heaven, when power in heaven hear that, they know God. They know how mighty he is, the Almighty, in speaking to you, dust of the earth, telling us he's going to do this thing for us. Wow. Wow. That is amazing that that woman, that the man gets that promise. Because God is not a man that he will lie. Not the son of man he will repent. When he makes a promise, he fulfills it. And they're amazed that the Almighty is making you and I this promise. They know him. They know his power. They know that no one can stand before God. No one can. No one has. No one will. And he's making a promise that he will be with us all the day of our life. That's marvelous. That is marvelous to hear. Blessed are the ears that can hear and the eyes that can see, they said. Thank you, Lord. But to us is, hallelujah. To some people is, can you give me that in cash? He's giving us in promise greater things than God. My brothers and sisters, when you trust the Lord, do not lean on your own understanding and know that the Lord is faithful. I look back to my own life. My wife and I sometimes sit down and talk about when the Lord called us to follow him, listen to him, and the promise he had fulfilled and burst through and the things that he promised us. He fulfilled, my brother and sister. Thank you, Lord. And he's faithful. And there's nothing else we can say. He has fulfilled his promise. Yes, we're waiting on some promise. But he has fulfilled the greatest sons, daughter, that we ask him. He's already provided to us. My brother and sister, nothing, money cannot compare to a child. Nothing on this earth can compare to a life. The Lord, 100 million of this earth, he will not give for you. You're more valuable than that to the Lord, to God Almighty. My brothers, all these things we know and see will perish. Only our eternal life with God will remain forever. My brothers and sisters, our relationship with him will be forever. So God has given us the greatest life in Christ. Eternal life in him. He already had answered us and give it to us. That was revealed to me the other day. You're looking for an eternity, but to you have been granted eternal life already. But down here, it's hard to sit down and say, well, I got eternal life in Christ. But it's a true fact in heaven. When you enter there, It's not that you're going to receive eternal life. It's that you already have it. He's in you. The hope of glory is in you already. And you're just walking home. Welcome home, my child. Hallelujah. But God, I was afraid of this or that. Yeah, those were just feelings you had. Nothing, no one was going to harm you because I am with you. And I've been with you since the beginning. Okay, God. Thank you, Lord. And in heaven, when you see his power, absolutely have no doubt or unbelief that God can keep you and protect you. Maybe doubt on here in unbelief, but not in heaven. My brother and sister. Some of us will say, I'm sorry, God, for doubting you ever. For allowing doubt to come into my mind ever. I'm so sorry, God. I can see your mighty power now. And I can see that you can do all things. I am so sorry. Thank you, God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Yeshua. Our God is mighty. Hallelujah. And everything he promised us, he's going to fulfill. Hallelujah. We feel the delay. We feel, hallelujah, whatever is going on in this world, that is not of God also. But God is with us. The Lord is with us. Jesus is with us. Thank you, Lord.
The sun shall be darkened in his going forth, and the moon shall not cause her light to shine. That is an eclipse.
God placed an X over America. Was it his final warning to us? And if so, what comes next?
Looking at that sign, on the surface, it would appear that the United States of America was and is in fact the central target, which I personally can readily understand simply because I have a conviction that the United States is in fact the modern-day Babylon.
O thou that dwellest upon many waters, abundant in treasures, thine end is come, and the measure of thy covetousness. The Lord of hosts has sworn by himself, saying, surely I will fill thee with men.
We're being invaded everywhere we look. We're not even defending ourselves.
This is what Jeremiah describes in chapters 50 and 51 in the future Babylon. He talks about the borders around the nation disintegrating, just like ours are. That there's a major influx of migrants.
These terrorists are in the United States, the tens of thousands of terrorists that are in the United States now.
They're already selecting immigrants, migrants, invaders to be processed for a pathway to citizenship inside our military. And we'll give you a gun, a badge, a job. Now you have invaders, an army with guns, just like President Obama wanted to have. He wanted to have his own private army. They are importing it.
I will fill thee with men, as if they were so many in numbers like caterpillars, and they shall lift up a shout against thee. This, I believe, is pointing to civil war.
This is the table that is being set for a full-blown civil war in this country that is going to get very, very bloody.
In 2017, I was asked to serve on a task force run by the CIA to help the U.S. government predict civil war. It turns out that predicting civil war is possible. It's just that most people don't know that.
Watch ye therefore and pray always that ye may be accounted worthy to escape all these things that shall come to pass and to stand before the Son of Man. What are all these things? These things are the things that will take place in the 7-year tribulation.
I've interviewed a lot of people who have lived through a civil war, and they all say the same thing. I didn't see it coming. I didn't see it coming.
His plan is an escape plan. Our very Savior himself, again, with his own words, taught it. He taught the doctrine of a pre-tribulation rapture.
Because thou hast kept the word of my patience, I also will keep thee from the hour of temptation,
Greetings in the precious, lovely, holy name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and welcome to this special edition of End Times for the Believers Bible Prophecy Update. What just happened a few short days ago, for some, was a natural astronomical event. For others, it represented a heavenly sign containing profound significance. Regardless of what side we are in that position, what we all need to do is recognize and acknowledge as students of Bible prophecy that we are living in tumultuous times, or as the Apostle Paul put it to his apostolic protege Timothy, perilous times in which we live.
This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come.
Before I continue, I need to say something very important from my heart. Regardless of what our persuasion is on the recent events, we need to be very careful that we do not allow the cynics, the cynicism, the scoffers, if you will, to pull us to that side, the pendulum swinging to that place where scoffers live, a place where there is no seeming sense of urgency that our Lord Jesus is coming soon. We are living in the last of the last days, and the enemy of our souls is doing everything he can in his power to divide us and to cause us to fight against each other simply because we may or may not agree upon the specific interpretation or meaning of a prophetic sign. There is a multitude of prophetic signs that are taking place every single day right now to where we ought to have full agreement that this is the day the Lord said we ought to be looking up. He said, when you see these things begin to come to pass, look up, for your redemption draweth nigh, even at the door. We need to be very careful and heed the warning of the Apostle Paul when he spoke in Galatians 5 and 15. But if ye bite and devour one another, take heed that ye be not consumed one of another. I want to say that again. But if you bite and devour one another, take heed that ye be not consumed one of another. There have been those who simply claim they are concerned about our credibility and that the world perceives us as being kooky. The reality is our position, the proposition the Bible makes regarding the rapture, that there is coming a day when we are literally going to be changed and we're going to disappear off the face of the earth. That is what is kooky in the eyes of the world. And friends, that is exactly what is about to happen. Would you join with me for a moment in prayer? Heavenly Father, please help me to share this word to these people that you love so dearly. You providentially, I believe, have individuals tune in to programs like this because you love them and you desire to speak to their hearts. Please, Lord, take full course through me and speak to hearts in the mighty name of Jesus. Touch lives. Cause many, Lord, to sense the reality that we are at the end of the end, and soon the trumpet is going to sound, and we are going to be changed. Lord, may some of the listeners tuning into this Bible prophecy update be changed in their hearts. In the mighty name of Jesus, amen and amen. Regardless of what one's position is on the recent events of the eclipse, we need to remember it is our God, our mighty God, who controls the stars, the sun, and the moon, and their orbits. And he saw this day, and he knew the implications of this X, if you will. And he allowed it to happen because the whole world is being reminded once again that we are living in the last of the last days. The scripture tells us in Isaiah 13, beginning in verse 9 through 11, "Behold, the day of the Lord cometh, cruel both with wrath and fierce anger, to lay the land desolate, and he shall destroy the sinners thereof out of it. For the stars of heaven and the constellations thereof shall not give their light." Now listen to this next statement. "The sun shall be darkened in his going forth, and the moon shall not cause her light to shine." That is an eclipse. "And I will punish the world for their evil, and the wicked for their iniquity." Looking at that sign, on the surface, it would appear that the United States of America was and is in fact the central target, which I personally can readily understand simply because I have a conviction that the United States is in fact Mystery Babylon. I have shared that on several occasions. And in fact, today, more so than ever, I believe that this current administration has taken the helm of government has demonstrated several characteristics that distinguish the modern day Babylon. And these characteristics have become more pronounced than ever before since the beginning of our nation's inception. I speak specifically of Jeremiah's lengthy discourse on the Babylon of his day and the future Babylon. And what he describes with regard to Babylon, which, by the way, Nineveh is, in fact, Babylon. And this is what Jeremiah describes in chapters 50 and 51. He talks about the borders or the walls around the nation disintegrating, just like ours are. And something that many have not recognized, which is biblical and part of the description of Babylon, and that is that there's a major influx of migrants.
We're being invaded everywhere we look. We're not even defending ourselves.
Well, the crisis at the U.S. southern border continues. The disaster is unfolding right before our eyes. So all of this is facilitated. All of this is being orchestrated to bring illegal immigrants into the United States, to undermine the United States, and it's being done with the help of the U.S. government, being funded and supported by the U.S. government. These terrorists are in the United States, the tens of thousands of terrorists that are in the United States now, and we taxpayers have been paying for it, so we want to destroy the paper trail. Is that the case, Ann?
Absolutely. And let's be really clear. When Michael and I were in a car last week driving in towards Tennessee, we received a phone call from somebody inside the military who is a flight surgeon, who understands and explains very clearly that the immigrants, I'm going to use air quotes because they're not immigrants, okay? These invaders coming across our border are separated. The military is setting up what's called MEPS stations along the border at border checkpoints, border security works. Customs and Border Protection have already temporary facilities for processing. One invader will be sent in one direction and another will be sent towards a MEPS facility for the military. Why are they doing this? They're already selecting migrants, invaders to be processed for a pathway to citizenship inside our military. Not too dissimilar to what they're doing in California and Chicago and other cities where they're saying, hey, Join us on law enforcement, and we'll give you a pathway to citizenship, a gun, a badge, a job, and a card so that you can legally earn money. Now you have invaders, an army with guns, just like President Obama wanted to have. He wanted to have his own private army. They are importing it. The United Nations is collaborating. Again, we are the biggest funders of the UN through their NGO partners, and importing these people from state sponsors of terror. And then you have a camp, which is a known camp, where multiple Chinese of military age men are being processed, mysteriously have a fire. Now you have to also factor in that these illegal invaders are also getting debit cards for $2,200 a month from, again, the U.S. taxpayer. That being said, we know we're going into another banking collapse. It's going to be another cascading event of regional bank failures because the Fed is cutting off the spigot on Monday the 11th. When that happens, you have to ask yourself, how much longer will these invaders be allowed to have their EBT cards refilled every month? When you're cut off from your bank and we're cut off from our bank, what do you think is going to happen to the illegals when they're cut off from their funds and you can't put food on the table? This is the table that is being set for a full-blown civil war in this country that is going to get very, very bloody. And again, it's all being funded by the taxpayer who is blindly walking themselves to the gallows by allowing the federal government to fund the United Nations.
In Jeremiah chapter 51, verses 13 to 14, we read the following, describing modern-day Babylon. O thou that dwellest upon many waters, abundant in treasures, thine end is come, and the measure of thy covetousness. The Lord of hosts hath sworn by himself, saying, surely I will, now listen to this, I will fill thee with men as with caterpillars, and they shall lift up a shout against thee. I will fill thee with men as if they were so many in numbers like caterpillars, and they shall lift up a shout against thee. This, I believe, is pointing to civil war, which is becoming more and more of a topic of discussion.
I watched this trailer, and it made me oddly uncomfortable because it was just seemed a little too possible.
It's a new movie that imagines what most of us consider unthinkable, yet another American Civil War.
In 2017, I was asked to serve on a task force run by the CIA called the Political Instability Task Force. One of the goals of that task force was to come up with a model to help the U.S. government predict civil war. It turns out that predicting civil war is possible. Solid data exists on where and when these conflicts are likely to break out. It's just that most people don't know that.
And end this pestilential war!
But what if that pestilential war were merely our first civil war? That's the premise of a new film called Civil War, opening this week. An unflinching and relentless look.
Well, you're American, okay?
At a nation divided and violent.
What kind of American are you?
Not in the 1860s, but today.
You don't know? It does not feel like a sci-fi movie. This could be us in, pick a year, 2025, 2026, 2024.
The United States is in the midst of a major transition from a country whose population is majority white to a country whose population will be majority non-white. The United States will be the first country to go through this, but others are going to follow. Canada is likely to be next, followed by New Zealand, and then the UK, and eventually all the English-speaking countries of the world.
Encountering an America entirely broken. No rules, no decency.
Who's giving you orders?
And a cold-blooded disregard for human life.
Someone's trying to kill us. We are trying to kill them.
The film offers a warning that, given today's political climate, Americans need to heed.
Our ego and our history wants to allow us to believe that we're above such things that, you know, lesser countries around the world may engage in, but we're Americans, you know. We drink the finest cola beverages. We're immune to such things.
There's an underlying truth with everything difficult, which is nobody's immune.
Quickly, Robert, do you believe civil war is unavoidable, or can we reverse course?
I've interviewed a lot of people who have lived through a civil war, and they all say the same thing. I didn't see it coming. I didn't see it coming.
Isaiah's ominous prophecy about the fierce judgment, which I've just quoted in chapter 13, is in fact, however, not geared just towards the United States or Babylon, but the entire world. It is worldwide in scope. One class of society to the other, from the simple-minded to the most sophisticated, from the poorest to the richest, or as Isaiah declares it, the last days, the scope of the judgment of God in Isaiah 24, beginning in chapter verse 2. And it shall be as with the people, so with the priests, as with the servant, so with the master, as with the maid, so with the mistress, as with the buyer, so with the seller, as with the lender, so with the borrower, as with the taker of usury, so with the giver of usury to him. Verse 3, the land shall be utterly emptied and utterly spoiled, for the Lord hath spoken this word. And so we see that the prophetic word of ominous judgments, of fierce wrath that God gives us from the prophet Isaiah, as well as other places, as we'll be discussing in a few moments, is worldwide. The scope of this pronounced judgment is, of course, not just the USA or the modern-day Babylon. In fact, in Isaiah chapter 24, the word earth and land, both the same, are spoken 12 times. So we have there the scope of the judgments. Verse chapter 26 and verse 21 of Isaiah reads as follows. For behold, the Lord cometh out of his place to punish the inhabitants of the earth for their iniquity. The earth also shall disclose her blood and shall no more cover her slain. Zephaniah prophetically puts it this way in chapter 3 and verse 8. For my determination is to gather the nations, that I may assemble the kingdoms, to pour upon them mine indignation, even all my fierce anger, for all the earth shall be devoured with the fire of my jealousy. We are seeing the very casting of the shadow of this very pronouncement of judgments before our eyes today. As far as the I can see, we are seeing engineered the very events that are ultimately going to culminate in the fulfillment of these prophetic words. And it's all been engineered. It has not happened in a vacuum. It has been engineered by wicked, greedy, evil people who are being motivated and, I believe, possessed, according to Ephesians chapter 6, by powers and rulers and the principalities of this world against spiritual wickedness in high places. This is what we are seeing today. Now, here's my point. As believers, we know these things are about to happen or are happening, and the Bible is the inspired word of God that tells us that these things are planned to happen. In 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 21, we read regarding the word of God, for the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. And so what we are witnessing globally is the plan. The plan of God. We know with absolute certainty from the sacred writings that what we are witnessing is the preparatory execution of the very judgments of God upon this world. Metaphorically speaking, the Lord said that he would be turning the world upside down. And just like he had said in his word in chapter 24, behold, The Lord maketh the earth empty and maketh it waste and turneth it upside down. Now, from a national perspective, there was a time in our nation's history when we believed in the benevolent government or rule or sovereign rule of God over our nation and over the world. One of the United States founding fathers put and expressed the sentiments of our leadership in the early stages of our nation with the following words, and speaking of both man and beast. This is what this man stated, quote, "I've lived, sir, a long time, and the longer I live, the more convincing proofs I see of this truth, that God governs in the affairs of men. And if sparrows cannot fall to the ground without his notice, is it probable an empire can rise without his aid? We have been assured, sir, in the sacred writings, that except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain who build it. I firmly believe this, and I also believe that without his concurring aid, we shall succeed in this political building no better than the builders of Babel. We shall be divided by our little partial local interests. Our projects will be confounded, and we ourselves shall become a reproach and byword down to future ages." This is exactly what has happened. And it was shared from a man we all know, Benjamin Franklin. And it was a speech that he made at the Constitutional Convention on the 28th of June, 1787. That was the sentiments of our leadership, our government, from the head down to the people, and thus representing the sentiments of the vast majority of at least the Western Hemisphere. What our sentiments are today? Take a look at this. Here is our sentiments today.
President defends his stance on Easter that caused controversy. EWTN News Nightly White House correspondent Owen Jensen was the only reporter to directly ask President Biden about that issue. He reports now from the White House.
Good evening, Tracy. I questioned President Biden about an Easter controversy as he attended today's Easter egg roll. But the event is raising questions. A flyer earlier welcomed children from National Guard families to submit artwork for the Easter eggs, but it banned religious symbols and overtly religious themes. A White House spokesperson was quick to point out the flyer's standard non-discrimination language requesting artwork has been used for the last 45 years, including in Democratic and Republican administrations. But President Biden also faces criticism for honoring Transgender Day of Visibility, which happened to fall on Easter. House Speaker Mike Johnson called that outrageous and abhorrent, adding, "The Biden White House has betrayed the central tenet of Easter, which is the resurrection of Jesus Christ."
Here we see how indeed our government appears or perceives the world and the events. An amazing shifting. Indeed, the world has been turned upside down. And so the Holy Scriptures, the sacred writings, as Benjamin Franklin put it, they show us and tell us about a day which today we are living in, that God has a plan. And the center of that plan is the gospel. And the central figure of that plan is best represented in this following passage found in Hebrews. "God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in times past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds." And so we see the central figure is that none other than the Lord Jesus Christ. And further, may I add this point, that God not only has provided for us in very succinct and actually comprehensive detail events that would be transpiring the last days, but he also added to the future plan, he added a prophetic timeline. And I want to reiterate that again, that the written plan of God is accompanied with a prophetic timeline. A prophetic timeline, the principles of which God has, of principles, should I say, of interpretation, he has given us. In 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 8, for example, a principle of interpretation, he says, "But, beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as a thousand years, and a thousand years as one day." The central purpose of God is that he has recorded in his word a prophetic timeline regarding his plans for the world, the future plans, and that prophetic timeline is defined or distinguished through the various different signs, the multitude of signs that he is providing us in this generation, undeniable signs. All over the world is replete with prophetic signs today. Take a look at this.
This church and grounds are now a crime scene after a man approached a clergyman mid-sermon and stabbed him multiple times whilst it was being live streamed. We can't show you much of the very confronting video, but I can tell you many members of the congregation leapt to the defense of the bishop and in doing so sustained multiple wounds. Police have arrested the attacker whilst 8 ambulances are currently treating the wounded. It is an incredibly chaotic scene here, with many members of the community outraged and crowding the streets. Ambulances were called at 7:15 p.m. and have just begun transporting the clergyman to Liverpool Hospital with multiple stab wounds.
There will be Christians who will be killed. There will be a time of martyrdom. Those who will say no to the system, those who will say no to Satan, they will also face death. So some will be killed, and these people, the number of these people is chosen by the Lord Jesus. He's got a certain number that people will die, just like there was martyrdom in the early Christianity, there will be martyrdom at the end of Christianity. Christianity began with martyrdom, will end with martyrdom. So blessed are those who die in the Lord physically. Blessed are you when you are killed for the sake of Christ. For the sake of Christ, I will face death and not deny my faith. Because there will be times coming, people will be tested. They will come and say, deny your Jesus and will give you life. Which one are you going to choose? Life outside of Christ, or are you going to die for his sake? I'm not scaring you. But read history. So many people in the millions were killed for the sake of the Lord throughout the centuries. So blessed are those who die in the Lord from now on. Because from now on is the great tribulation which is coming. The great tribulation, when it comes, it will cover the entire globe. So there will be martyrdom. On the other hand, blessed are you to die in the Lord, meaning dying to your old person in order to live in Christ.
And so we see that God has given to us in his mercy signs that speak to us today as to where we are at in the prophetic scenario of events. signs, might I say, that we must be careful not to look at as if they are the end in themselves. They are simply events that are pointing to a future event. We do a great disservice when we take those signs as genuine as they are and suggest that events will transpire on the days of those signs. Those signs are pointing to future events. Events simply having to do with the very plan of God. And one of those major events that God gives us in terms of his written word and his plan was revealed some 2,000 years ago to one who was responsible for writing much of the New Testament, that being none other than the Apostle Paul. Just some 2,000 approximately years ago, the Apostle Paul put in words one of those major future events that would take place in the last days. Behold, he says in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 51, behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. For the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. It cannot get any clearer than that. We shall not all die a physical death, but we shall all be metaphysically changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. For the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. And so the plan of God speaks to us of a future event when...